I am jumpy. She said that the timer could make an obnoxious noise. If that happens, I will be jumping to the ceiling. I'm famous for that. Yes, I am. Okay, I thought I would tell you one more little tidbit about me. I did mention that I have 8 grandchildren, but none of them live near me. 5 are in Idaho, and 3 are in Virginia. I live in Texas. It's like, hello. And I love being a grandma. I love being a mom. I love babies. So the baby in the back that was back there, it's like, if I wasn't up here, I'd be the one stalking the mother saying, give me the baby. And I've decided that I'm going to have a business card. Well, I have this desire to make a business card, and it's going to say, I've raised 3 children. I have 8 grandchildren. I've worked in my church nursery for 20 years. They've done a background check on me. Please may I hold your child. I've been on airplanes where I thought, give me that baby. Just give me that baby. It's like, I love them. And God wants us to want to be with him as much as I want to be with my grandkids. Just saying. Okay, this session I have titled Reflectors. A long time ago, Bill did a sermon, and he called it Moonies. Because if we are reflecting the light of the sun, we are more like the moon, so we are Moonies. What can I say? It doesn't mean we're part of that cult. There was a cult for a while. We're not them. We're just not them. And I heard a message by Charles Swindoll once, and he talked about the rearview mirrors like on a motorcycle, and now they reflect from what's behind you, and said, we are to reflect into the dark corners that somebody's not going into. We are to reflect Christ into dark places. I thought, that is so cool. And the way we do this is, hold on, let me get that paper, is right laid out for us in the Bible. And I got to tell you, the workshop I was at with Chris, I was going over my notes, and I thought, oh, my goodness, she said a couple of the same things I said. I thought, but Jody reminded me that you all weren't in our workshop, so some of you might need to hear this. It's like, how cool is that? Okay, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 4:17. And we're going to kind of skip through the rest of this chapter, and we're going to play the game of what not to wear. And I know a lot of you have seen this TV show. I love it. I thought it was hilarious. And one thing they make, whoever the person is that they're doing the makeover on, they go with them to their closet, and they make them throw away all their old clothing. Because they know they'll be tempted to wear it again. If we're trying to outfit you with a new wardrobe, you cannot wear the old stuff. You have to put it off, as it were. And they sometimes, I've seen it in a trash can. Put off. You're not wearing this stuff ever again, because that's not who you are anymore, if you're catching my drift. And then we're going to put on some new stuff. So we're going to learn what not to wear. And the way we tell the difference, what makes the put off and put on possible, is the fact that we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Thank you, Chris. That was awesome. I thought, yes, yes, yes. So in verse 22 of Ephesians 4, I said 17, but I'm going to jump down to verse 22, because here's where the first lay aside is. That in reference to your former manner of life, those old clothes were taken to the trash, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God. And again, God's renewing is what makes the putting off and the putting on possible. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness in the truth. And then starting at verse 25, here's part of our old clothes. That's that old t-shirt that's so worn you shouldn't wear it out of the house. We are going to put off falsehood. Verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. We're going to put off that anger that goes to bed. go to bed angry. It's no, not good, not good. And do not give the devil an opportunity, which is why it's not good to go to bed angry. Even if your husband makes you mad, right before you're going to bed, it's like, oh, how dare you? Do not let the sun go down on your anger because you give the devil a foothold. He's got a chink in your armor now, and he knows where to get to you at, and you don't want to give him that. Verse 28, he who steals must steal no more, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that, why? That he will have something to share with someone who has a need. Not only is he not going to steal, he's going to work to provide for someone else. Oh, that's part of a put on. Very good. So even in those four verses, now we go back to verse 24. We're going to put on our new self, which is in the likeness of God. Verse 25, we're going to put on, if we're laying aside falsehood, we're putting on truth. We're going to speak truth. So we already have a couple new shirts. We're going to take off falsehood and anger and stealing, and we're going to put on our new self, and we're going to speak truth. And then you get down to verse 29. It says, oh, man. See, because a lot of us think, well, you know, I don't do a lot of that big bad stuff. But then there's this little bad stuff that, unfortunately for us, God says it's all the same. So even if I let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, no unwholesome word. We used to have a phone that was attached to the wall in the kitchen. That was the only phone in the house for a really long time. And right on the cupboard door by that phone, I had this verse printed out. Ostensibly, it was for my children, but it was also for me. I was on the prayer chain at church. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, building others up, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And we will shine, we will reflect Jesus by what comes out of our mouth. Not just, my dad used to have a phrase, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do. It's like, okay, I've put off that lifestyle, but how about just the unwholesome talk? And I know Jerry Bridges wrote a book called Respectable Sins, the sins we tolerate. Oh, I don't do that big stuff, but how about just bitterness, anger, wrath, malice? That is still just as bad, and we need to put it off. And as we put it off, we're more correctly reflecting Jesus Christ. So that's more clothes to get rid of. We're going to let no unwholesome talk come out of our mouth. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. More to put off. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. That's a lot of things to put away and get rid of. And sometimes we need to do a verbal inventory. Does that come out of my mouth? And sometimes you think, oh, I do not do that. And then you think back, how did I talk for like the last couple days? Was there any bitterness there? Or wrath or anger or malice? And then in verse 32, what to put on. And be kind one to another. Just kind. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And I know sometimes it's the hardest thing to forgive your immediate family. They're the hardest. Somehow you can forgive a total stranger easier than you can forgive your children, your parents, your siblings, or your spouse. It's like, are you kidding me? Be kind to them. Be tenderhearted towards that child that just said something really disrespectful to you. But remember, what did Jesus forgive me for? So what right did I got to not provide forgiveness to someone else? So this is part of my put on and take off. I'm going to put on kindness. I have a little sign attached to my, I don't know why here, tape dispenser on my desk. It says, be kind, always, no exceptions. And it might be the guy that just said, you don't have cell phone coverage anymore because we made a glitch, but you don't have coverage. Or your TV just got disconnected. We had one time, my husband's name is William Frederick. Our first son's name is William Douglas. He lived in Amarillo for a while, then moved to Austin, lived with us in our house for about 3 months. So his mail was coming to our house. Well, when he moved, he went to the bank or the post office or wherever and said, change of address, I'm moving. Well, they moved all our bills with him. And all of a sudden, we'd been with Suddenly for like 20 years, and all of a sudden, they're going to cut us off cold. I thought, are you kidding me? We've been faithful customers for 20 years. I had to go to Suddenly office in person. See my face? I did not move. I live here. Give me my stuff back. I had to go to the bank because they both had accounts at the same bank. Our bank statements were going to Austin. It's like, I'm still here. He only moved this account. He didn't move this one or this one or this one. We're still here. I had to sign papers. I did not move. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. If I'm going to reflect Jesus, I cannot go yell at somebody at the bank. I'm sorry. He says, Cindy, you can't act like that. That's not being a good reflector. That's not shining for Jesus. Be kind. And verse 1 of chapter 5 goes, to me, it kind of should have been the beginning, but I know he's going another thought. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitators of God would be reflecting, would be shining, looking like Jesus, being Christ-like, acting like you're sanctified. And if I want to yell at somebody at the bank, I'm not acting like any of those things. Because it's going to be a sacrifice to shine. It's going to infringe on my personal benefits. I mean, my personal rights, or so to speak, my space. You're in my space. I'm sorry. At times, it's going to require sacrifice to shine. He says, I need you to do that anyway. It may cost you something. Other examples of reflecting are like the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We're going to put on love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And I love the phrase at the end of this list. There's no law against these kind of things. Oh, I'm sorry. You cannot be kind. It's against the law. We're going to arrest you for being kind. No, that's not going to happen. And some people think to be, I'm going to reflect Jesus and I'm going to shine, that I have to go do something huge and wonderful. Like, I'm going to go to China so I can reflect Jesus. I'm going to join the Peace Corps so I can shine. And sometimes we forget that we can shine just being who we are, where we are, in our sphere of influence. Being kind to your neighbor. If they their dog poops in your yard, and instead of getting mad at them, you just, let's take care of this and we'll be nice neighbors. That's shining for Jesus in your sphere of influence. And if building up somebody who comes to church and you see they're sad, and instead of walking by them, hey, what's up? Can I help you? Can I pray with you? What do you need? Being a good example in a dark place, whether it's your workplace and nobody else is saved, or just in church and you see someone either younger than you or younger in the Lord than you, and you just make the effort to befriend them, to mentor them. Say, you want to have coffee? Want to go get a Coke? Whatever. That is shining right where you are without going across the seas to do something amazing and wonderful. And there's also the examples of the people we come across in Hebrews 11. This was also part of, and I know I've quoted a couple times from the Armor of God study that we're doing with Priscilla Shire, but it's like mixed in my brain with this week, and it's all kind of going together. But she says, think about all those people in Hebrews 11, the people that acted in faith. And you have Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And then she asked the question, what would have happened if they would not have done what they did? What if Noah wouldn't build the ark and wasn't faithful for 120 years while he did it? Well, you know what? We might not even be here, because that was the only family that got saved in the flood. What if Abraham wouldn't have gone to that far place that he didn't know where he was going? Would we have anybody on a faith? What if Sarah wouldn't have had Isaac? No Messiah? No Savior? Oh my goodness. Think of all the people who did, if they wouldn't have acted in faith, what we wouldn't have today. It all of a sudden just blew my mind when I thought of that. And these are people who are reflecting Jesus. Now, here's a little hope for you. And I thought this was hilarious because I never thought of it in this respect. But when we got saved, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in me. And so I have God's imputed righteousness within me. It's like I have a stamp right here or a little tattoo. You're mine. Because the Holy Spirit is in me. I've been sealed. Oh, I'm reading my wrong thing. Hold on, my sheets are out of order. Yeah, it is still true. It is still true. See, now I don't know where I put that, so I'm kind of toast. I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because it's good. And we'll get to that, the next part anyway. The Holy Spirit comes, and he brings housewarming presents. You go to housewarming, and I've made up these. You give a basket with maybe coffee or something in it, or a couple new coffee cups, if you know. There are decor in the kitchen, or dish towels that match. The Holy Spirit comes in with housewarming presents, one of which is a fruit basket. Thank you. But he comes with other personalized gifts for serving. We each get gifts personally tailored for us. But we're not to have them to be selfish and keep for ourselves. Like if somebody came and brought you a housewarming present that's like this cool set of coffee cups, are you going to stick them in the back cupboard and never get them out and never let anybody see them? You are going to serve someone coffee in them or hot tea. And what if you get this beautiful serving tray? Are you going to hide it so no one can ever see it or hurt it? No, you're going to use it to serve someone. Fancy salt and pepper shakers on the table. My grandma and my mom always had a bazillion sets of salt and pepper shakers. I don't know what that was way back when. And because my mom was the pastor's wife and they always lived next door to the church because I grew up in parsonages, they would always come borrow them. When they're having a dinner at church, there'd be people running across the sidewalk to my mom's dining room. We need some salt and pepper shakers. And then run back to church. And she always had, I bet, 10 different sets of salt and pepper shakers. So God gives us gifts through the Holy Spirit coming into us, gives us gifts, but we're to share them to edify the body and build you up. And that is reflecting Jesus. And that's not hard to comprehend. It's like, oh, I don't have to like do a book report and go to a foreign country. No, just live my life, which brings us into another aspect of this. Also, the Holy Spirit coming into our lives is like new life growing inside us. Like a woman being pregnant and there's a baby growing inside her. Does that baby have to strive to grow? Is there a baby in there who's like 13 weeks in the womb and is that baby going, "I gotta grow, I gotta grow"? No. All that baby has to be is nourished, and that baby will grow. It's a natural outpouring of growth. Let me see. They don't have to concentrate. All they need to do be is well cared for, and when they are, the natural outcome is growth, which automatically produces change. As you grow, you will change. You don't have to force it and make it and squint your eyes and... And a baby that isn't changing isn't growing. If these things aren't happening, we assume that the child is not healthy. And this is what happens when you have a miscarriage. When my daughter lost her first baby, according to her calendar, that baby should have been 13 weeks old. But that baby stopped growing and changing at 7 weeks. And so there was something wrong. When we don't grow spiritually, we don't change. And how do we change and grow is by the renewing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's when we grow in righteousness, we see our life organically transformed from the inside out. Spiritual health must be our focus, not trying to change. That's one of the things Satan tricks us with, that we have to try and change. And then he gets us to sink our energy, into changing instead of focusing on having a relationship with Jesus. When all Jesus wants us to do is sit in his presence and want to be with him. If we concentrate on having a vibrant, healthy spiritual life, we'll automatically grow and change as a result. It's called sanctification. We want to be with Him. He works in us. We grow and change. And it isn't I gotta change. It's, I'm spending time with my Father and I look more like Him now. Have you ever found somebody you wanted to be like? A speaker? Don't look at me. I remember a lady came into my life years ago and I thought she was so cool and she was such a godly woman and she was gonna lead a Bible study and I so wanted to be like her. And I'd watch her as she came every week and I started dressing like her. Thought, oh, I should wear those kind of jeans. Oh, I should wear that kind of shirt. Oh, I should wear silver jewelry. And I found myself imitating her and I realized, you are getting weird, Cindy. You should stop. But this is what Jesus wants us to do with Him, is want to be with Him and want to be like Him. In verse 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and be encouraged by who you are in Him. Your name's engraved on the palm of His hands. He keeps track of all our tears. He knows who you are. And I know this is an old cliche thing, but I love it anyway. If my Father is a king, that makes me a princess. So you're all princesses. So, you know, consider walk in confidence. If you were a princess, that's way better than a movie star. Sorry, Miss. I forgot your name now. Sorry. It was French. It was. Anyway, we are supposed to imitate Jesus and want to be with Him. And one of the funnest things as a grandma, because my grandkids live so far away, is sometimes you feel like you're disconnected with their life. And when one of them calls you and says, hey, Nanny, I just missed you, and I'm so excited you're coming to our house. And I mean, that will melt your heart like no other thing on the world. And especially when it's a boy and he's 9 years old. Hey, Nanny. And then he wants to tell you all about what he's going to be at Halloween. And he's in third grade now, and there's so much drama in third grade because all the girls have crushes on him. And he just wanted to have a conversation alone with Leah, and his friend Matthew wanted to interrupt, so Matthew is no longer his friend. So sorry. But do you have a grandchild want me to know what's going on in his life? And it's like, God says, that's what I want. I want you to just want to be with me and want to have a relationship with me. And I was so encouraged with Chris's workshop. If you're meeting with Jesus daily, He's going to rub off on you, the imitation thing. And you'll start to look like Him. And, okay, Chris, I had this in my notes before I came to your workshop. But I said, here, be renewed. Being renewed is all about meditating on the Word, internalizing its principles, and implementing them with your actions, which supports the work of God's Spirit in renewing your soul. It's like, yes! We've backed one another up here. So this is so cool. In changing your taste buds, it's adapting to what you find more appetizing and fulfilling. What not to wear, maybe what not to eat. It's like, this is what I used to like, what satisfied me. But now that I'm being renewed in my mind, this is what's satisfying, and this is what God wants me to go to. And it's all in His Word, and it goes back to me being wasting the opportunities that I have in college, because if I'm renewing my mind, as Chris said, I'm not just reading the Word, but I'm going to memorize it, meditate on it, pray it out, and do it, not skim it when you're half awake. It's like, okay, I read night. No, that's not the way I'm going to grow and be more like Christ. I want it to get inside me and be a part of me. And then as I'm renewed with Him, I'm going to look like Him. I'm going to reflect Him. And just to hone in on one, I think I lost a page, but I know one more thing. Because the fruits of the Spirit are what the Holy Spirit produces in us. One of them is having peace. And one way you can reflect God's presence in your life, that show people that there's something different in you that they don't have, is just having peace in a horrible situation where somebody else wouldn't, but you do, and say, how come you have that? So the anchoring and guiding peace of God is already in you, and it needs to be on you. It's like it needs to show forth in your life. It's not. It doesn't want to be dormant and put in the cupboard with all the salt and pepper shakers. Use the peace. Make use of it. Bring it out. And the way we do it is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, I circled everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. He wants us to let him know what we need. Remember the guy that was blind, and Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Master, I want to receive my sight. He says, let me know. How do you know you have an answer to prayer if you don't ask for anything specific? God, help me today. Well, how are you going to have that answered prayer? It's like, be specific. Be specific. Be anxious for nothing, Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When I give it to him, not be anxious, I'm letting my request be made known to him with thankfulness. It's like you can meld letting him know with thankful all the way up. I need your help here, and I thank you that I know you are a God of wisdom, and you are so able to do that. Put thankfulness with your supplications, and the peace of God is going to blow up inside your heart. Like, you know how they do packing? They used to do packing worms. Now they have those little balloons they blow up. Stick in the box and then air it up. And it's just like you can feel peace going inside. You're like, thank you. I bet in the last 3 weeks, I've said that verse to myself more times than I can count, because I get freaking out about all this stuff. And I stand at my desk and say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it does. I can feel it. Because I'm not freaking out at this very second time. I am proof positive. And just the backup verse, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. It just backs up what Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says. Let him know what I need and do it with thankfulness, and his peace will guard my heart. And if I have peace in my heart, I'm going to reflect who he is. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called, and be thankful. And that's the way you can shine. If I'm just the positive attitude of, I'm willing to help you, I have peace, and I told you last night, I think, about the first year of Bill's college, when our car broke down, the baby almost died, we got no money, but we had peace. We were trusting God, and he took care of us so well. And he will do it for you. I can totally and completely tell you that. God will not let you down. Well, I guess that thought wasn't supposed to be said because it just left my mind. It's like, if you don't remember anything else, reflect God, and you can do it just in your normal circumstances with who you are and being an example of the fruits of the Spirit, and that to your neighbors, to your family, to where you work, just in normal life. Sorry, we're supposed to end really good, and I forgot my last good thought. All right, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are the powerful one, that you are the omniscient one. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who invades our hearts and minds. I pray that we would want to be in your presence and want to look more like you every day. And through the power of your Holy Spirit in us, to go out and reflect your love and shine it to those around us. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen.